And join me in prayer. Lord, we ask that your spirit might be with us this night, that you might be our light, not just on this night as we hold light of candles, but that you might be our light always. We ask that you might be our hope, that you might be our joy. Come, Lord Jesus, into our hearts. Amen.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them,
"Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger."
Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God on the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests."
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another,
"Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had told them.
But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
"Those who walked in the dark have seen a bright light, and it shines upon everyone who lives in the land of darkness shadows. Our Lord, you have made your nation stronger."
"Because of you, its people are glad and celebrate like workers at harvest time or like soldiers divided up what they have taken. You have broken the power of those who have abused and enslaved your people. You have rescued them just as you have saved your people from Midian. The boots of marching warriors and the bloodstained uniforms have been fed to flames and eaten by fire.
A child has been born for us. We have been given a son who will be our ruler. His names will be Wonderful Advisor and Mighty God, Eternal Father and Prince of Peace. His power will never end. Peace will last forever. He will rule David's kingdom and make it grow strong. We will always rule with honesty and justice. The Lord, all-powerful, will make certain that all of this is done."
Lord, let your blessing come into this reading of Holy Word. Let your blessing be upon this speaking, that our hearts may be filled with hope by your light, by your Son. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've heard the story, the story that we love from the Gospel of Luke, and we've also heard from the prophet Isaiah. And both of those scriptures look toward the city of Bethlehem. Even in the hours, a few hours ago, 5 to 7 hours ago at this time in Bethlehem, the Nativity Square was filled with people. People coming from all over the world to mark this holy night, to be part of that miracle, part of Jesus' birth in Bethlehem. Now, 2,000 years ago, the same thing was happening, but they were perhaps not coming for the same reason. Certainly, the prophets had said that Bethlehem would be a place where people, where the Savior would be born, the city of David. But in that time, 2,000 years ago, people were gathering like Joseph and Mary to be assessed so the taxes might be levied. And people did not come on bended knee to see some kind of Savior. Instead, they came with worries. Where would the food come from? Where would the lodging come from? How would they get on with their lives? And so, They were not looking at this as a place of hope, and yet, by the grace of God, a young woman bore the Son of God. And although that child seemed to go unnoticed, except by some shepherds and wise men, those who were outcast and outsiders, this baby would change the world in powerful ways. It was a gift of hope. Now, many people make the pilgrimage to this town of Bethlehem and to this traditional place where Jesus was born. If you go there today, you won't see a manger. You won't see a cattle stall, some kind of thing that we picture on our Christmas cards and in our mind. Instead, there is this giant hulk of a church with incredibly thick walls that has been built and added on to church after church, altar after altar, since 400 A.D., And if you go into the main sanctuary and go over beside the front altar, you can go down some steps into this little grotto, this little cave carved out of the rocks underneath the church. And there is the traditional place where Jesus was born. And it's not what we would picture at all. It's crowded and people are waiting in line. It's noisy. It is a place that is smudged with the hundreds of years of candle smoke and incense. And yet, people come, pilgrims, generation after generation. It is most certainly a pilgrimage of hope. Now, we've all made our pilgrimage to be here tonight. It may not be some holy journey to the city of Bethlehem, but we have made our pilgrimage through the buying and the baking. We've made our pilgrimage through the decorating and the wrapping. We've made our journey through the giving and the feasting, and we have come to Jesus. Now, if I went around and I asked everyone personally, and I said, come on, tell me, why are you here tonight? There'd be a number of different reasons. For some of us, we might say, this is my church family. This is where I am supposed to be on Christmas Eve. For others, we might say, my family wanted to attend, and tonight I honor my family by being here. For some of us, we may have grown up in this church and we still have a sense of wonder in us. And we remember the songs and the candles. For others of us, we remember and we want to honor those memories. For others, we are beginning traditions in our own family and want to have those as part. And yes, probably for some, someone's made you be here, right? But underneath all of that, something that all of us have in common is that we are a people who are leaning toward the light, who are leaning toward hope. We heard from the Old Testament reading from Isaiah, and I want to say this is a word of hope. It was spoken in a time of darkness. The Assyrian army had taken over the northern kingdom of Israel, and the people were in exile, and they needed to hear that not all would stay darkness, that there would be light one day. And Isaiah said, a light will dawn. And when that happens, all of the things that we worry about, the darkness, will be in the light. The things that were used as instruments of war will be thrown into the fire, and we will live as a people of peace, and we will have a leader that we are going to pile names on, greatness of greatness. We will call this leader Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's what we will wait for, and it will be our hope. Now, I know that if we step back No matter how ideal we want this evening to be, that we know that the darkness kind of creeps in. We can look at the headlines. We can name the cities around the world where there is war and fear, where there is suffering and hopelessness. In our nation, we can name places or incidences where we wonder and ask, can there truly be peace? Can the darkness be pushed back? And perhaps even in our lives, there may be that dark corner, that unsettled place, that question of what is my purpose and why am I here? We may be carrying a sorrow for those who we have loved and lost in this time. And we are yearning, we are leaning toward hope. Well, I bring you this good news that there are a couple of things that we can hope for as Jesus comes. One of them is we can hope for abundance, and I'm not talking abundance of sugar cookies or egg dogs or gift cards. I'm talking about an abundance that will push down this prevalent notion of scarcity in our world, that there is only enough, so much to go around, so we have to get ours. There's only enough peace. There is only enough goodness, enough compassion, enough resources to make a difference in this world, and it will not come. We can push that down with the abundance that comes with Jesus. Jesus said, I came so that you may have life and have it abundantly. Hope is the thing that promises to us that our lives can be filled with purpose, our lives can be filled with compassion, and we can be wholly who we are created to be by the grace of Jesus Christ. And if we are yearning and hoping for that, this night declares that it is possible. And we can also hope tonight for change, that we can, quite honestly, be good again. I don't know about you, but I know there are places in my life of things done and things left undone that I just want to straighten out. And sometimes I get the idea that I'm not going to be able to do that. But this is what this night says. The coming of Jesus doesn't mean that our brokenness and our mistakes and those burdens that we carry don't matter, but what it says is it doesn't have to affect our future and who we are. From this moment, we can step out and we can be good again. We can change. We get this idea that this night is a night of perfection. Oh, the lights on the trees and on the homes, the lights and the candles that we lift. And we might not realize that this is also a night where we bring our fears and our sorrows and our burdens and our brokenness, and it is okay. And they can live comfortably amidst the cattle lowing and the baby in the manger and the shepherds seeking and the stars shining. All that we hope for can come here tonight too. Because into a manger, Mary laid God with us. Jesus walked this earth and gave his life on the cross, and it was God's life for us. Jesus rose and the tomb is empty, and it is God lives for us. And there's one other hope that I mentioned tonight, and that is a hope that God has. The hope that on this night we might lean a little bit toward yes. Yes to accepting the light. Yes to accepting the promise of Jesus Christ. I was thinking about God leading and our saying yes, and I thought of this gift that I got a few years ago. My niece, Tricia, was 5 years old, and she, when we got together to do our family gifts, she was so excited, she could hardly stand it. You know how a five-year-old is. They're on one foot, they're on the other, and she was just dancing with excitement because, you see, at her school, the parents had gotten together, and they gathered all these, like, white elephant things, and they'd put them in a room, and for pennies, the kids could buy gifts for their family. And so she had gone shopping, and she bought me this gift. And so she demanded that it be the first gift opened, and I opened it and I pulled it out, and it was a black poodle made of golf balls. There it is. Now, I have to admit, I still, my niece is 20, I still put this out. It is in my home on display. Visitors are polite, they don't ask questions. And I'll tell you why I keep it. Because I know that on that day when she gave me this gift, it was her hope. It was her certainty that this would be the absolute best gift I received. That is the hope that God leans in toward us tonight. That we have the opportunity to embrace Jesus, and that it will be the absolute best gift that we receive. I've been to Bethlehem, and it is a place of hope. You go into this hulk of a building. It used to have a door that was 15 feet wide by 30, but they found out during the Crusades that horses could go in and charge in, and so they bricked it all up, and the opening is now 3 feet by 4.5 feet, and you kind of go into this hulk of a building. The windows have been bricked up, and just a little bit of light filters into the main sanctuary, but it is a light of hope. A pilgrim waits in line and then goes down these stairs made of marble that have been worn with grooves of thousands of feet, walking down them, and it is hope moving forward. In the grotto, the traditional place where Jesus was born, there is this altar, and it is thick with candle wax from thousands of candles burnt there, hoping for a light. And if there's time and the crowd isn't pushing too much, you can kneel down at the altar and reach under it. And there's this brass star, kind of like the Star of Bethlehem. And you can put your hand on it, that traditional place where Jesus was born. It is worn with the hope of people reaching out. And as you leave by another stairway up into the main sanctuary, it is hope rising up. We have made the pilgrimage together tonight to this place, not Bethlehem, but to say yes to Jesus. Let this be our time of hope. That there is abundance in this world, enough grace, enough compassion, enough love for all people. Let this be our time of hope that we can be changed, we can be good again, we can be what God has called us to be. Let this be a time when we call on the wonderful Counselor, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Come, Jesus, come. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, Lord, you come in a surprising way tonight, not with glory, not with fanfare, not with armies, not with a earthly power and fist raised, but you come persistent in love, persistent in humility, offering peace and hope. And we ask, Lord, that that might, by your power and grace, reach out into this world, into the dark corners, and be light. We ask that those things might come to us, that we might be instruments of your peace, bearers of your light, people of hope, not only for ourselves, but for others. And Lord, Lord, we ask that in this hour, in the hours ahead, that you might raise us up, shape our hearts, and have us ever leaning toward you in hope. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.